It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Okay, welcome back to the Labatt Studio, and it is time for Ask Ross, presented by 409tailgateclub.com. They're your questions. Go to the app, Keystone Sports, on your phone. Click on the button, and you can ask Ross a question. The listener, deemed with the number one question this week, will receive a tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some sauces and rubs, and we'll announce the winner early in quarter number four, as long as we don't forget. So, are you ready, Ross? Let's get started.
Ross is ready.
He's ready.
Ross is
first
ready.
One is a follow-up from Jennifer in Tallahassee. We were asking, how are you a Penn State fan in Tallahassee?
Oh, I'm glad, Jennifer.
She said, hey, guys, thanks for taking the time to read my question. So, to answer your question about how we are Penn State fans living in Tallahassee, my husband and I were both born and raised in Pennsylvania. He went to Penn State. I went to Kutztown. We watch a lot of games here in Tallahassee with the Northwest Florida chapter of the Penn State alumni, which is a lot of fun. Take care. Thanks.
Yeah, nice.
There's a Northwest Florida chapter of Penn State alumni?
They're everywhere.
Pensacola, Tallahassee, the Panhandle. I'm sure it's...
It's like Steeler fans.
Yeah, but who? That's not the area of Florida that most people move to, right? No, in all sincerity, they move to water.
Yeah, right? They move to Tampa. They move to
the west, Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah. They move to the coastline, Northwest Florida. That's fascinating. All right. Well, thank you very much. I love learning where our listeners are coming from. Tell everybody at the Northwest chapter of Penn State alumni, they got to listen to Keystone Sports Network, or they're not real Penn State fans.
Get the best Penn State football talk 52 weeks a year. You like that? All right. Next question comes from Heather in Akron, Ohio. That makes it four straight weeks. We received a question from one of the female members of our audience. She asked, how important is it for Penn State to have a third wide receiver emerge this season? Is it sustainable to play a second tight end along with Pat Freiermuth or involve a second running back if those options put the best players on the field versus running 11 personnel and just putting a third wide receiver out there who isn't cutting it?
Okay, so who is she saying is the second receiver?
I know. I mean, technically, they don't really have a second receiver yet either. But she's saying eventually in a spread, it's either going to usually be three wideouts. Or I think she's talking more about what you said. Is the competition really between the third wideout and the second tight end? I think that's where she's going.
I think it is. And given the fact that we don't even know who the second receiver is yet, I would think that there's a decent chance that Brenton Strange or Zach Kuntz potentially ends up being the number two tight end and maybe being better than the number three receiver, especially because if it's close, the number two tight end gives you a lot more versatility. Yeah. You could have both tight ends in line and have seven blockers for the running game. You could split Freiermuth out or the other one out and still have six blockers. Right. You really put the defense in more of a bind if you've got a tight end out there as opposed to a receiver, unless the receiver is a significantly better receiver.
But the second tight end's got to be able to block. And I think that's...
If the first can't. I mean, you want him to be able to block, but Freiermuth's good enough that... I think you could get away with Freiermuth being the inline guy and this other guy being the one that split out, right? Whereas last year, Bowers was a little bit more of a blocker. Or if you had done it with Gesicki, Gesicki would have always been split out and Bowers or whoever would have been the blocker. But one of them has to be able to block a lick, and Freiermuth can block a lick. I don't know about Kuntz and Strange. They're both in high school. They were so skinny, it's hard to know.
So you've talked so much about the wide receivers and this offseason. The second level to that is watch who emerges first in the offense. Is it the second wide receiver or the second tight end, right? That's what becomes sort of how Penn
State. It's a good question. That was a good question. She's got a shot. Female.
Heather in Akron, Ohio, you've got a shot. All right, this question comes from David in Lancaster. Due to 3 to 4 months of combine prep and specific training negatively affect a rookie's preparedness for their rookie season? If the combine wasn't such a big deal, I would assume they would train completely different.
As soon as the season's over, they train nonstop for the combine. And if they're going to do those drills again, they continue to train that way for the pro day. Then after that, they get into position-specific stuff. And I think there's some merit to what he said there, which is that it's not ideal. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Not a single NFL player is working on their 40 or vertical jump or broad jump this offseason. Not a single one, right? So if that was what was most conducive to being an NFL player, they'd be working on it, and they're not. So that's another good question. We're 2 for 2. Just so you guys know, before we started the segment, Andy said all the questions stunk this week.
He did. And say now that.
We're actually 3 for 3
this
now.
Is throwing Andy under the bus.
Number one, Andy doesn't respect your questions, and number two, more importantly, he's wrong.
And number three,
these have all been good questions so far.
You should stop trusting Ross and I with revelation.
Everything you say during the break can and will be held against you in the court of Ross. Yes,
I did not use the word these questions.
We were paraphrasing.
Stunk.
Paraphrasing. Yeah. It's allowed. It's allowed.
They didn't seem as great collectively.
Yeah, that's
make it worse.
Basically, just said they're terrible.
Make it worse, Andy.
That's basically saying they're terrible.
Is brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We are your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. We never stop talking Penn State football.
Can I say two things real quick?
Absolutely.
Number one, the fact that Andy takes our ribbing the way he does is a tremendous credit to him. And I haven't even gotten into that hooded sweatshirt yet, but that's a tremendous credit to him. Okay.
Andy, do you want to know what Ross's rating for you is as a host?
8.1. 8.1. So number one. And number two, it always, like, our boss, Jim Galante, he runs the board and the computer and he's recording everything. He is dying laughing. So that's usually a good sign, right? So, like, either one of two things. Either everybody else listening right now is dying laughing, or Jim has a very
easily amused.
Has a bad sense of humor.
Probably a combination of the both. All
let's
right,
get let's, to some more of these crappy questions, Andy.
All right, James in Revere, Massachusetts, thanks for your awesome question. Ross, where are your eyes focusing when you watch football live? I tend to zero in on the ball and wherever that football is. And I wonder if what I'm doing is similar to a new driver staring solely at the car in front of them.
I think most people watch the ball. I got no problem with that at all. The ball is the thing. You know what I mean? Like, the ball is what's going on. I, you know, primarily for this show, but even for a lot of football I watch, I'll watch the line play for the first half a second, maybe full second. Because nothing else really happens of import other than that. Whereas for line play, that first second tells a lot. So I'll watch that because I don't go back and watch like the coaching tape because we don't have access to it. And I don't sit there and go back and watch the game 20 times. I watch it once. So I try to get a snapshot of the line for the first second and a half. Then I watch the rest of the play. Both sides of the ball.
When you're not watching a game for this, when you're broadcasting games, whether it's on radio or television, where are your eyes? Are you focused on the ball as well, knowing that the play-by-play guy generally that you're working with has got the ball called? Is that different? And is it different from the booth and the sidelines?
No, I'm usually watching the line initially, but I'm watching everything, like the pre-snap coverage, potential blitz, because if I see something interesting before the snap, I'll give him a hand signal and I'll be like, I see they're going to bring pressure, because I can just tell when the safety starts to cheat over and the slot starts to climb in.
Right.
So I work for CBS. That everybody likes forecasting. everybody, but, you know, Romo's gotten kind of known for that. But people like it if you offer an observation before the play and give them something to look at, like, okay, here's a blitz coming, because then they can see that, and they can see it way before they would have. So they like that. And then during the play, it's about the why, right? So why did the play work or why did it not work? We have a talk back button, and I'll bang that and say, pit replay, 54 black, 54 black, or just 54 black, 54, because that's what I want to talk about. But a lot of times I'll say pit replay because I saw the guard pull or I saw a great block by the fullback. And I love, you know, I love showcasing blocking because that's what I did.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. That was cool. That was another very good question.
It's too late, Andy.
Yeah, Andy.
It's too late.
This is unbelievable. I can't believe you were that wrong. I don't even know which one to pick. They've all been good.
Never, I'm just going to not
Shame on you, Ross, for thinking I was not going to be that wrong. All right. This question comes from Doug in Louisville by way of why I'm missing. Ding, ding, ding. Playground leader Ross, if you were hired to be the next head football coach at the Pennsylvania State University, what is the first one or two steps you would take to building a championship-level program?
So I know who that is. Shout out, Doug. I think I know because I saw your parents recently, and I think they told me you live in Louisville now. So I'm pretty sure I know who that is.
We called you playground leader. Thank you. I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, I was playground leader in Wyomissing for like 4 years. That was a job, man. I would just play like t-ball against little kids and just destroy them. It was awesome.
It's like a summer job. Paid.
Yeah. Got court paid. Ball. You ever play court ball in a tennis court?
Yeah.
Oh, so fun. Wow. I missed that job. Boy, I don't know what I would do that Franklin's not already doing. I don't know. I'd probably, if we're being honest and I really wanted to win national championships, I'd probably talk to the biggest alumni donor, the biggest donors to the football program, and probably think about a program in which we could get even more talented players. Setting up a program in which...
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he asked the question. That's the answer.
Right.
Maybe the answer is I'd probably... If that was the goal, I wouldn't do it. But if that was the goal, I'd probably find a way to get a few more 5 stars. And I know one way to do that.
And you know one way to do that. All right. That'll do it for quarter number 3 from the Labatt Studio. Stick around. We'll announce the winner coming up in quarter number 4.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.